You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
89.7 FM, Eastside Radio.
Listening to a song called Counting Backwards, and it's off an album called The Real Ramona by Throwing Muses, and I thought it might be slightly appropriate. Back in December last year, I had a chat on this program to a mathematics educationalist, Dr. Bronwyn Reed O'Connor, about why there's an imbalance in the competence in children's mathematics ability along sex lines. Boys, it seems, do slightly better at it than girls do. But today, I want to have a look at another phenomenon in mathematics education, and that is, where have all the students gone? A report from Sydney University indicated about 9.7% of student high school certificate students did, in New South Wales that is, did no mathematics at all. And it also indicates an increasing trend from 2001, when that figure was a mere 1.8%. But even so, amongst those who do choose mathematics these days, many are opting for lower level courses rather than the more advanced ones. That is to say, they're doing general mathematics rather than mathematics or extension level mathematics. If all this is true, then two issues arise in my mind. Why? And so what? And to help us come to grips with the issue, I thought I'd ask Dr. Bronwyn Reed O'Connor to come back to Monday Drive and, as they say, please explain. Dr. Reed O'Connor is a lecturer in mathematics education in the Sydney School of Education and Social Work at Sydney University, and she specialises in secondary mathematics teaching practice and mathematics curriculum design. And she joins me now. Dr. Reed O'Connor, welcome to Monday Drive.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me again.
It's always a great pleasure. We love mathematics, don't we? Is my information correct?
So people
are opting out of advanced maths at a senior level, are they?
Yes, unfortunately, we have quite a steady but stark and really consistent decline in the numbers of our students, exactly as you quoted, doing the most advanced levels, but probably more alarmingly for me, doing any maths at all in the senior years when it's not compulsory in New South Wales.
Is it not compulsory?
It's not compulsory in year 11 and 12, no, no.
Oh gee. I wonder if, and you reckon the numbers that you and I are both quoting, they're statistically valid? In other words, they are actual fact? They're not just a small sample size?
Yeah, no, I do believe so, because we're lucky enough in the school systems to get quite good data, especially in our Year 12 graduates, about our exact numbers. Those figures are fairly reliable. And it does follow a bit of a global trend as well, so it's not too unusual, but, you know, of course, it has a lot of implications for our nation that we should be acutely concerned about.
Yeah. Mathematics has been described as the broccoli of school subjects for generations of Australian teenagers. What does that mean? I quite like broccoli.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a really good thing to hear. And you know what? Me too. Maybe we're coming from generations where we were, you know, didn't have much option, you know. But for a lot of kids nowadays, maths is kind of like broccoli in that it's something that we might theoretically know is good for us, but we just don't love it. So another way of thinking about it, I think we've got a little bit of a PR problem in the new generations of students coming through mathematics as well. It's got this bad rap of being one of the dreaded subjects, and you'll even hear adults today, luckily, you know, perhaps not people like yourself and I, but you know, others who will certainly talk about how they were practically tortured in school maths classes.
Yeah. Look, I like broccoli. I didn't say I like maths.
Oh, look, I was being very optimistic there.
Look, I don't dislike it, but certainly in my days in school, it was compulsory.
Yeah.
What caused it not to be?
I'm not sure exactly when historically we moved to it being not compulsory, but I do believe for a while New South Wales has not had compulsory senior level maths in year 11 and 12. There have been moves in political circles to change that, and it is something we really do want to change. But unfortunately, you know what? We just don't have enough maths teachers in any of our states in Australia to, particularly in New South Wales, to supply a move to implement compulsory senior maths.
Well, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? If you don't teach it, if you don't make it compulsory in high schools, then you're not going to get people interested enough to want to teach it.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is part of the issue of when we're looking at why we're not getting our students in the most advanced levels of maths and into STEM tertiary careers. It is very much of a circular issue. When you don't have students entering STEM fields, we're not ending up with the highly qualified and highly skilled maths teachers that we want back in the classroom to then, prepare our next generation as well. So it is a really circular issue.
Well, you know what? You're an expert in curriculum design in the field of mathematics. Is all this your fault? Are you making it? Are you making it too hard, or worse? Are you making it too irrelevant?
In terms of teacher education who we're sending out?
Well, in terms of the lack of interest of school children to do higher level mathematics.
Yeah, totally. So in high school maths, it has had a real history of being taught in quite a dry, boring way. We're actually trying to turn the tides from a teacher education perspective as well, really thinking about how our pedagogy does what it needs to do in terms of content and developing students' understanding, but also we're looking at a lot of new research about motivation and engagement as well, and understanding that it's not just about delivering the content accurately. That's very, very, very important, but we need to make sure our students are engaged. So we are looking at how do we do that? How do we make learning maths more engaging and more interesting to keep our students, you know, hooked on maths and continuing on in year 11 and 12 as well?
Okay, well, I've got the answer for you, and you can pay me a royalty for this suggestion. Do you think it's marketed badly? Might a catchier name work rather than advanced mathematics or abstract mathematics? You're never going to win any customers calling a product abstract. Why don't you call the subject magic numbers or something? Wouldn't that work better?
I love that idea. You are catching on to a really good idea, a really relevant point though, with why we end up with the numbers issue in senior years, and that a lot of students just aren't seeing that it's relevant. So if, you know, maybe it does need a name change and a bit of a PR uplift so our future generations of students can see the relevance of the maths they're learning. It's that typical cry of, you know, when am I ever going to use this again? I'm not going to do Pythagoras again.
Well, talking about...
how is it relevant?
Yeah, not only Pythagoras, but Euclid. He was a famous mathematician who lived around 300 BC, and he was known as the father of geometry. He wrote a book called Elements, Shaping, and that shaped the teaching of maths for over two millennia. Now, if that's advanced mathematics, is it any wonder people don't want to study something that was developed in 300 BC?
Yeah, and you're spot on. But I think what we need to do is make sure our students really understand it's not just about that content that they're learning. Yes, we might not use Pythagoras' theorem again. We might not have a job that draws on Euclid's work every day. But what we're doing when we're learning that more abstract and complex maths is we're actually getting some really powerful skills in how to solve problems, think logically, reason, and communicate. Something that can be really, really useful no matter whether we're in hospitality or out in agricultural fields or in the more STEM-based fields. It's developing a powerful way of thinking.
Yeah, yeah. You know, parents generally bear the brunt of everything that goes wrong with their kids, don't they? Everything is the parents' fault. Is that the case here too? Do parents need to take any blame for their children's dislike of higher mathematics?
Yeah. Yeah, look, I'm a parent myself and I get what you mean. Look, not everything's down to the parents, but certainly we do know quite conclusively from the research that a parent's attitude towards things like mathematics and learning maths can really directly impact their child's attitude as well. So we do have to be a little bit careful as parents, particularly about the conversations we have and the types of attitudes we're passing on, because it is basically you're passing on to your children and the young people around you your attitudes and perspectives.
Yeah. You spoke a little bit earlier about the relevance of Pythagoras and Euclid and so on and so forth. I wonder, though, whether the issue is contributed to by the perception that mathematics is too hard compared to other subjects, in the context that people still learn Latin. And it's not as if you're going to go and talk to the Pope every day, is it?
Yeah, and interestingly, you don't hear it in other subjects like English and those types of things of where we're going to do this again. But it is common in mathematics. Yeah, look, again, you're really spot on. I mean, the reality is we don't really like doing things that we're not good at and that we find hard. You know, I can go out and try and hit some tennis shots and I might be really, really motivated giving my first 10 a go, but if I've missed 100, I'm sure to go and hang up my racket. And a lot of kids feel that way about maths as well. So they can quickly lose confidence when they just have these continual negative experiences or continual struggles. So from a school lens and a teacher lens, you know, we do look at how we can jump on that earlier because it will have a big impact as they go onwards. And we end up with a lot of students by the time they reach year 10, you know, they might be seeing themselves really as not a maths person.
Yeah.
And that's when we lose them in the senior years.
Yeah. Well, where does the issue start? I mean, it seems to me that it could actually be starting not so much in senior school, but in junior school with a lack of basic mathematics foundation skills. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, it does start early. Where the rubber really, you know, kind of hits the ground and we see this start to have a really big impact is the entry to high school. When things start to become a little bit more abstract, we start to talk about things like algebra. It really reveals if we haven't mastered some of those basics, it makes the more abstract mathematics really, really complicated. So it's really important that we get the basics right.
Yeah, and I wonder, therefore, whether the argument that it's the teachers in the senior levels that's the issue.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, your phone just dropped out there and I talked over the top of you.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. What I was saying is the issue of the lack of quality teachers at the senior level that you alluded to earlier, is that an issue at the lower levels as well? Because if you've got good maths teachers at a lower level, then maybe the pressure's taken off those at the senior level.
It is an issue in the year seven, in the 7 to 10 grade ranges, yes. So we know that we don't have enough maths teachers. And when we need to allocate resources of qualified maths teachers, they do get mostly allocated to senior classes. And we end up with a lot of our grade 7 to 10 classes, a really high proportion, being taught by what we call outer field maths teachers, so people who are not trained in the area. And that's really significant because, you know, how we're setting students up for success in the senior years is really, really established in grade 7 to 10. And if we don't have, you know, the best and the well-trained teachers in front of them, it will have a flow-on effect for sure.
Right. I'm talking with Dr. Bronwyn Reid O'Connor, who is a lecturer in mathematics education in the Sydney School of Education and Social Work at Sydney University. And Bronwyn, you published a fairly significant report in 2016. It was called Mathematics Literature Review, Senior Syllabus Redevelopment. Now, in that report, you identified Hong Kong and Singapore as having, quote, excellent mathematics systems with quality components that align to produce students who learn mastery of mathematics, unquote. You go on to say later on, quote, this level of organisation, rationality and support is not nearly as evident in Australian mathematics teaching and learning, unquote. So can we conclude from that that we should be learning something from Singapore and Hong Kong to bring us up to their standards, and maybe even adopt their syllabus?
I think we should always be turning to countries who are performing well and seeing what we can learn, of course, understanding that there are different cultural contexts. So when we look at countries like Singapore and Hong Kong, they typically outperform above us in international testing in subjects like mathematics. So we certainly have a lot to learn. And what we see in their curriculums is a very clear culture of high expectations. The students are moving through content at a rate that is a little bit above what we commonly see in most Australian maths curricula, and it's very logically sequenced and well supported in its conceptual development. So it's always important that we can, you know, keep looking at how we can refine and improve. We have seen some iterations of new syllabuses which have moved in positive directions. So New South Wales has begun to implement some new syllabuses which focus on having greater alignment as students move through each year level. So moving in the right direction.
Okay. You also mentioned earlier on that, I mentioned earlier on that the decline in mathematics at a senior level could influence the future workforce. Please explain.
Yeah, so the reality is for Australia is we really simply do not have enough people entering STEM careers to sustain the types of needs that Australia is going to face in the future. So, and that was released in a recent report by the Australian Academy of Science about our most pressing STEM issues as well, and how these STEM professionals are going to tackle some of our biggest issues, like our aging population, productivity declines, and our issues with a lack of economic diversity in Australia as well. So, yeah, and then once we suffer from a lack of STEM professionals, that means less teachers as well, which, as we discussed earlier, just becomes this unfortunate circle.
And it has rebound effects on things like engineering and data science and...
Yeah, absolutely. Our appetite for STEM professionals is just ever growing. I mean, globally, but particularly in Australia, and you know, very clearly on paper with the numbers, we do not have enough students coming through tertiary STEM degrees like data scientists, engineers, and other professionals in related fields as well to sustain what we need.
But I wonder if any of that even matters, Bronwyn, in the event that AI takes over things like engineering and data science and economics.
Yeah, of course. It's really interesting times, of course, you know, and things are shifting it's beyond a fast pace with technology evolution as well. But the reality is we still need people who can understand the basics of those technologies as well. So we're never going to lose those things. You know, a lot of online tools now are driven by algorithmic engines, but there are still people who need to develop them. So even when students are looking at their TikTok recommendation list, that's all driven by a recommendation engine, or Spotify playlist. It's all powered by maths, and someone needs to understand that maths at the end of the day.
And it occurs to me that all those deficiencies in things like engineering and so on could perhaps impact Australia's international competitiveness. Do you see that phenomenon? Do you see that being the case, or is the decline in senior mathematics also being experienced internationally, so that really it's an entire worldwide race to the bottom of the mathematical barrel?
Kind of a little bit of both. It does seriously impact Australia's ability to be economically competitive, and our STEM industry drives a lot of our ability to be economically competitive. But you're spot on that it is not an issue that is just in Australia alone. It is not in all countries, but we are one who is suffering from this as well. Of course, there are others who, and don't ask me until I get the numbers right of who's doing really well in their STEM graduates. But I think you would look at other countries like Singapore and India and China, and I suspect they wouldn't suffer from quite as much of a decline in those fields.
Hmm. If Euclid came to your place for dinner, how do you think he'd advise tackling the problem?
Oh, I do wonder. I think we would have a very interesting conversation about add the importance of learning mathematics in the modern world, and things have shifted a lot from Euclid's time as well, when it was a very different climate and very different people who were able to even learn mathematics in his time. So I think we'd have a fascinating chat about the doors learning mathematics unlocks now for everybody, being much more accessible.
Okay, and just finally, we spoke earlier about year 11 and year 12 mathematics not being compulsory. It's just occurred to me that if you do make it compulsory, it could backfire. Is it a solution or is it a problem to reintroduce compulsory mathematics?
Yeah, that is an interesting question. We do have other states of Australia that we can look to see what's happened. So, for example, Queensland has historically always consistently kept compulsory senior mathematics as well. And whilst their numbers have also declined, I'm not sure if they've declined quite as rapidly. So it would be really interesting to look at that. But before introducing compulsory senior maths here, we would have to carefully have a look at the implications of that and, whether that's the right carrot to put in front of our students.
Well, carrot beats broccoli, Bronwyn. So I reckon we may need to talk about this again sometime in the future. But for now, thank you so much for joining us here on Monday Drive, Dr. Bronwyn Reed O'Connor from Sydney University. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.